Yes. I understand that, you know, with the cut between the COVID and the weather, we may be running a little bit low today, but that's okay because God's still running on high. Amen. 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 God's still got it going on. He hasn't stopped. Now, where have I laid my clicker? Return the clicker. Wherever I put that thing, I know I had it out here today. Yeah. Yeah, I got my cover, but I don't have the clicker. Uh-huh, here we go. Where's the clicker? I see. Somebody's done, they done told on herself. They said if I dance, it'll show up. Okay, there it is. I figured it had to be Brandon or DC because BJ wouldn't do anything like that. That's right. That's right. Isn't God good? Revelation, now this is a very powerful book. And it's a book that people get scared of. I'm not scared of it. Not all of it. I've been studying now for 30 years, and part of it still does not make sense to me. But as time goes by, stuff is making so much more sense. When the Bible says before the day will not come, or the Antichrist will not be exposed till he that letteth be taken out of the way, which that's talking about the Holy Spirit embodied in the church. Does not mean that the Holy Spirit will not be here during the tribulation. It'd be like it was in the Old Testament when it's just in spots. People will still be getting saved, you know, but it's going to be a lot harder and life's going to be really, 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 really bad. But it says before he comes, it's going to be a great falling away. And I used to wonder, where's the great falling away? Although I see church diminishing over the years, I also have noticed that now with COVID, it's estimated that 50%+ of the people that were in church before COVID will never return to church again. That's just an estimate, okay? And also, there was a lot of people say they're watching it on Facebook, and honestly, are they? You know, because what's happening is people are losing their trust, their dependence on God, their church family. And so I've noticed I can look on Facebook and see who's doing what a lot of times. So I can see, and I know, you know, that people are actually in this last day and time. The Bible says that God doesn't shorten the time, even the very elect will be deceived. And so we're living in that time. We're right here, right now. But we've got to understand that now is the time that God wants to use us in a very, very powerful way. So before we get started, I wanted to tell you about this. I was thinking about DC and his training, because I remember the hours I put in as a firefighter. I put in sometimes 300 hours a year. It was a lot. I mean, a lot. It was constant training. But, of course, that was EMT and fire, and then plus the fire training and EMT training at work. I would do about 150 hours a year at work. So it was a lot of training going on. But in a training session in the fire station, a team was assembled around the kitchen table. The training officer was discussing the behavior of a fire. He says, you pull up to a house and notice puffs of smoke coming out of the eaves, blackened out windows, and little or no visible flame. What does this tell you? He answered. Expecting to hear that the house is in a possible backdraft situation, a condition which is very dangerous to firefighters, he instead heard from one quick wit that you got in the right place. Crickets again. This is 2 weeks in a row, crickets. Okay, next week I'm about to go to my new book because y'all definitely, the old books are gone. All right. All right, here we go. Revelation chapter 1. We're going to go ahead and just going to read it, okay, the whole chapter. I just think it's necessary. Get your Bible, stand for the reading of the word. The whole chapter of Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto them to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We talked about all this last week. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and with they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Can y'all turn the lights on right above me? So it's kind of dark right in this area. Not that one. Yep, is that it? Is there two more? There you go. Now, there we go. The other ones were blinding me this way. Of course, that's good too, because I can't see y'all. Y'all smile or something. Wave your hands so I know I'm not looking at a picture. Okay. My joke didn't work, so at least now... Okay. All right. I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and pages of Jesus Christ, was on the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and behold, I saw seven, listen carefully to these words, seven golden candlesticks. This is where y'all come in, where we come in. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and a girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto fine brass as they burnt in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am first and the last, or I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be after. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, or the pastors. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches, the people. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for all that you've said and done in your word. We thank you, God, that you're powerful. You're not just powerful. You are power. You're not just loving. You are love. You're not just fire. You are fire. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us in a very powerful way right now. Help us to see, to know, to understand that you're with us and that something special is taking place even in the midst of this COVID. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. On the way down, look at somebody, just point at them and say, it's so good to be in the house of God with you today. Look at somebody and tell them. Just tell somebody. Look around and find somebody to tell. It's good to be in the house of God with you today. It's good to be in the house of God with all these white-headed guys like me. Amen. Amen. Okay. Let me just get through this. I'm not going to go through a whole bunch from last week at all. And next week, I'm not exactly sure. Remember, I don't know if we're going to start it, now or start it this year or start it next year, but we're going to start doing a boot camp week. Every first Sunday when we do communion, we know that we're going to be doing not only communion, we're going to be doing a boot camp or back to basics Sunday. Talking about salvation and talking about sanctification, talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about stewardship, talking about how to be faithful in God's word and in his power and his anointing. So in the weeks coming up on the Sundays that we have communion, they're going to be the back to basics Sunday. We're going to be talking about Revelation, but at the same time, want to intertwine it with some other stuff, because Revelation is a hard book, and a lot of folks will start getting fatigued. Revelation fatigue. Have you heard of COVID fatigue? We got it out here now. The world now, not only were they suffering from COVID and being locked down, now they're suffering from something called COVID fatigue. Okay? The COVID fatigue is now, they told us it was going to be 14 days. It's not 14 days. Keep on, it's not going to be long, it's going to be 14 months. Okay? It just keeps on and on and on. And it keep having spikes here and there, especially in Europe. And people are really having, actually, I think people need to learn to live with it. When I say live with it, I don't mean live with it as just know it's here, but learn to, as much as possible, keep a normal life. Doing the necessary precautions. Heard something, I think it was the CDC yesterday said, that if at least 95% of the population or more would wear mask, good mask. I'm not talking about some Mickey Mouse mask, but good mask, reply, good mask, that this year it can save over 100,000 lives if we just wear a mask. Now, that's saying that we got a part to play in this too. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I'm my brother's keeper. And so this is some powerful, powerful stuff. And they have discovered that, first they said this doesn't, it's an evolution. And so first they said masks won't work, then they said masks were going to work, and it's kind of got you kind of confused with all the things they're saying. Shut it down, now they're saying open it up. Who says one thing? Who is the World Health Organization? CDC says another thing. There's so much stuff going on, you can't keep up with it all. But now who says you don't need to shut down, you need to open up? And so you don't know if you got a physical thing going on, you got a mental thing going on. This COVID fatigue, but this mask will keep you from passing on your germs, but also it has a tendency also not just keep you from passing it, it actually also protects you a small bit from receiving it. Now, when you wear your mask like this, no, all bets are off. When you wear your mask like this, all bets are off. When you wear your mask like this, that's where you got to cover your nose, you got to cover your mouth. And so it's very important that we try to do our part. And our part is we can wear those masks. That's a big, big thing. So that's where there's this COVID fatigue going on. And now we got election fatigue. I'm so tired of hearing all these TV commercials. The other night, every break, there was a political commercial. Every break. And some of them were by the same person constantly. And sometimes there was two from the same person in the same break. It was just, honestly, I know I've got election fatigue. Okay, we got COVID fatigue. We got election fatigue. And then just trying to learn how to settle in and bring some kind of normalcy to the craziness again. So there's fatigues all over the place. Fatigue, fatigue, fatigue. And so it's very important that we study the book of Revelation now, because we need to hear some good news in the middle of all the bad news. And here is the good news. Amen. So just quick like, the purpose of the book, Revelation, again, I can't say it enough. It does not mean end times and frightening things. It does not mean that. Revelation means to uncover, to unveil. It's apocalypse, which means literally not the apocalypse is bad things are coming. It means to open up clearly so you can see. Okay? So now that was it from last week. That's it. All right. So again, the purpose of this of Revelation is the church was under persecution. By the time Paul wrote this book, do you know that not Paul, but Dave, I mean John. By the time John wrote this book, the rest of the 12 apostles were dead. By the time he wrote this book, Paul was dead. He's writing this book now, and it's just an amazing thing now that all the people that he come through with, all the things that he'd gone through with the troubles and the trials that he'd gone with people in the church and stuff, they were all gone. John is by himself. Not as John by himself, but now he's under heavy persecution. He's a political criminal for his social stance, his salvation stance, his stance for God. His religious stance has become a political problem. And because his social and his religious stance has become a social problem, now John, not only is he away from all the people that he was raised with, so to speak, in the church, now, not only that, but now he's been put on this island, and there's mines, he can work the mines, and there's just these wild animals and just scarcely clothed, and they would be beat during the day, and it just was crazy, 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 all because he took a stance for God. So the church was under persecution big time. And so this book was written to bring comfort and hope in the middle of pure chaos. I don't know if you've turned on your TV lately and noticed all the chaos that's happening in the world. Hey, have you noticed all the problems that we've got? Have you noticed all the like I said, we just talked about it, the chaos from now with the media and there's just so much stuff going on now. It just boggles my mind. I never in my entire life thought I would see what I'm seeing now. But what it is it's a launching pad that will launch us right into the tribulation period. So I'm looking at this now. I'm really believing you got to start looking at the eastern sky because now is the time that something's getting ready to take place. The Pope has ordained same-sex unions now. So this is some stuff going on here. I mean, things are really, really happening. They're getting close to the finish line. We're almost there. When you hear the Pope declare or take away the deity of Jesus Christ, we're out of here. And the only way, when the Antichrist is going to have two horns, it's going to be probably Muslim and Christian together, intertwined together, the way you intertwine them together, because the Muslims believe in the Old Testament, they believe in Jesus Christ. They just don't believe he was the Son of God. So if you take Christianity and take away the deity of Christ, that he's the Son of God, that he's just a prophet, then you can combine everything together. That's on the way. It's getting ready to happen really, really quick. So just start listening to everything. Start listening to these peace treaties. See what's going on. Jesus Christ is on his way back. This book is getting ready to explode on the scene. So let's look at here now. That's why she is. I love this part. I'm not sure how much more we're going to do in chapter one. This may be the last part of chapter one, or we may do another one. I'm not sure. Now just a few weeks ago, we talked about the vision of Christ, the vision that he had when he was sitting in the center of the golden candlesticks. And so I talked about Jesus and what he looked like and what he was dressed with. Now we're going to talk about this now. After John looks and he sees the Son of Man, meaning now he's not just the Son of God, but the Son of Man. Again, it's deity, meaning not just deity, but it talks about his humanity, Son of Man. He gave the sacrifice for us on Calvary so that he can set us all free. And so now the Son of Man, he sees the Son of Man, and he's dressed with fire and with brass and with gold, and it's just amazing to see what he sees. And so Jesus, when he gets through looking, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Okay? So he's telling the first and the last, I'm he that liveth and was dead. So let's just take that scripture, that one scripture, and break it apart. It should bring you some comfort and hope in the middle of what you see. Also, Mighty Army. Now what happened was Mighty Army, there were some problems with Mighty Army last week. And so had to start all over again. So if you're getting invitations to Mighty Army again, it's okay to get it because it's still the system that we use. It's just been done over again to get it moving. And so people are coming in and joining. I think 100 and something joined the day before last. And I think, I don't know, there was like 50 joined yesterday. But people are trying to, they're even texting me, and it's okay. Is this you or is this something else? And I go, it's me. It's okay. But tomorrow's Mighty Army, I can hardly wait, and I can't call it up right now, so I can't see it, but tomorrow's Mighty Army is going to have something to do with, no matter who wins the election, no matter what's going on in our midst. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still in control. Amen. We need to hear that, especially now as everybody's making their last run for this last week before the election, and people are really, I'm hearing so much mudslinging and so much dirt being thrown. And remember something, whenever you throw a bunch of dirt, you know what you do? You lose ground. So don't be throwing dirt to people, okay? You need to stand back and show them Christ-like love. And if you haven't already voted, I don't know how long it will be while you can still do early voting. For the first time, my wife and I did early voting. Friday was a week ago. Felt kind of funny, though, because I didn't get an I voted today sticker. Instead, I got an ink pen because everybody got an ink pen because of COVID. And it said, on the ink pen, I voted today. And so it was really kind of bad, though, because the pen didn't write. Amen. Yeah, government issue pen, don't write. Amen. There was politicians standing outside saying, vote for me here, take my pen in there because this one ain't going to write. And he was correct. Amen. So here we go. First off, I'm the first and the last. He's the reigning one. I want you to listen carefully. I want us to bring some hope to you. You see, John was reminded that Jesus, watch this, Jesus is the author and the finisher of all things. He's the one who has always been and will always be. Long after Trump and Biden are in the ground, Jesus will still be calling the shots. Long after the government is gone and there is no Democrats and there are no Republicans and there are no independents, Jesus will still be in control. Long after we're gone, Jesus will still be calling the shots. Amen. He's the great bookend on either end of history. Think about it this way. Kings may come, kings may go, but Jesus Christ has, Jesus Christ is, and Jesus Christ will reign forever. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's going to reign forever. He's timeless. He is eternal. Jesus was here before Satan came on the scene. He will be here after he's baking in the lake. Amen. And this is what this is. When it says he's the reigning one, it talks about Jesus's complete control. No matter who wins, the Bible says he sets them up and brings them down. No matter who wins in this election, Jesus is still in complete control. Amen. Somebody say complete control. That's right. Our God is in complete control. Amen. That ought to make you feel better about this election, make you feel better about COVID, make you feel better about this unrest that we're having. And then next, he's the reigning one. Not only is he the reigning one in the complete control, but he's the resurrected one. He says, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Let me just stop right here. It says, I'm he that liveth. This actually, if you look in the Greek, it is a divine identity. Because he says, I am the living one. Not just I'm he that liveth, I am the living one. It is a divine title. It shows his power and his authority. You see, Satan tried to kill him. Amen? Satan tried to kill him, but he couldn't. Jesus did something that nobody else has ever done. Think about this now. He did something nobody else has ever done. He entered death in his own time and his own way. Come on now. He entered death in his own time and his own way. Then he walked out of death again when he was ready. Wow. Wow. That's awesome. If that don't make you get all excited, I'm telling you. He walked in death. He said, you're not taking my life. I'm giving it. I'm laying it down for you. You're not taking it. I'm giving it. And it's pleasing the Father that I do this. Amen? So he's got complete control. And he's got complete life. Amen? You know, I actually watched that debate the other night. And I thought about it. And I looked up there and I said, both those guys look really old. Did y'all see the debate? They look really, really old. Amen. Both of them, Biden and Trump, they look really, really old. And I said, you know what? both these guys are trying to break records for being the oldest person to ever be president. Amen. And if I looked at that thing, I said, you know, age is taking a toll on both of them. But you know what? Age never takes control or takes a toll on Jesus Christ. He's the Ancient of Days. So he's the resurrected one. Not only is he the resurrected one, watch this. He is the redeeming one. Amen. I am he that liveth and was dead. Jesus died, but his death was like no other death before him. He died not for himself, but for others. Amen. He gave his all for those who had nothing to offer. He paid the full price for everybody in this room, everybody in this world, no matter what your religion is, no matter what it is. He died for you. Now, whether you accept it or not, that's your decision. Complete redemption. Also, not only is he the reigning one, the resurrected one, the redeeming one, he is also the remaining one. I am alive forevermore. We're going to live with this. Listen, can you imagine this? We're going to live with him forever. This isn't all. Aren't you glad this isn't all? The older I get, I'm telling you, the older I get, I say it all the time, the older I get, the better I was. The older I get, the more I see. Matter of fact, the older I get, the more I long for heaven. The older I get, I even look up now and I say, is this the day? Is this the day? Can this be the day that Jesus comes back? I'm so excited about Jesus coming back. And I'm so excited about getting my chance to be with our God. Amen. So look, this isn't all. Watch this. When time is faded, listen carefully. When time is faded, I wrote this all down so I want you to see it. When time is faded and every kingdom is dissolved, Jesus Christ will still be Lord and still be God. He's the remaining one. Let me tell you something. If that don't bring comfort to you, and it ought to strike terror to the enemy, he gives us a complete future. I am alive forevermore. So let's keep on going. We're gonna just about through. Just about. Ready? One more. I love it. Look at that line. Not only is he the reigning one, the resurrected one, complete control, complete life. The redeeming one, complete redemption. The remaining one, complete future. But he is the releasing one. He said, I've got the keys of hell and death. You see, keys speak of authority and they speak of access. Jesus entered into death and he conquered it. And then he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, complete freedom. Now, we talked about this last week, but this time it seems different because we read it at the beginning last week. We're reading at the ending this week, and this is, watch. Chapter 1, write the things you have seen, the Lord's work in his church. That's what we're reading now. Chapter 2 and 3, things which are the Lord's word in his church. And in chapter 4 through 22, things which shall be the Lord's word, prophetic, after his church is gone. So let's go a little bit further, and we're getting ready to close. Revelation 1 and 20 says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven golden, or the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Can you imagine seeing that? Wow. What would this vision mean to a persecuted church? What would this vision mean to us now as we watch? If I listen to how Biden talks about Trump, I wouldn't want to have Trump anywhere. If I listen to how Trump talks about Biden, I wouldn't want him anywhere. If I put all their stuff together, I wouldn't want either one of them. If you look at the way they talk, you can't go by the rhetoric. You got to go by record. You never go by rhetoric because rhetoric is just that. It's talk. Go by record. When you go to vote, if you haven't already. But I listen to all this stuff. And again, we've all got election fatigue. How many can't wait to hear another election commercial? You can't wait. You turn on your TV looking for it. Can't wait to hear another one. I can't stand it. Look, if I don't hear another election commercial for the rest of my life, I'm fine. I'm fine. No more. I've had it. I'm about to pull out my hair. You know. So look. So listen. What does that image? What's the power? What would it mean when somebody's under persecution, when they're going through times of unstable times like we're going through? Number one, comfort. Comfort knowing that Jesus was in the middle of the churches and that it was held in His hand. Wow. Those churches were getting in trouble, but He was in the middle. Yeah, look, He says when they touch you, they're touching the apple of His eye. I mean, when they touch you, you wear the apple of His eye. When they touch you, you're sticking your finger in His eye. We too should know in all of this that we're going through, He's still in the middle, and we're still in His hands. No matter if the Democrats win or the Republicans win, Jesus is still in the middle of His churches, and we're still in His hands. If we find a long season of peace, He's still in the middle, and we're still in His hands. If we find a long period of chaos, He's still in the middle of the church, and we're still in His hands. You see, He comes to us. He cares for us. He comforts us. We don't have to be afraid. One of my favorite scriptures, and we're closing. Y'all guys get ready to play something. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Message. I love this. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. Wow. God knows what He's doing. It's amazing to me. Amazing to me. And in the middle of all this, God can bring peace. I see all the stuff happening, but I still have a peace in myself. I still have a peace in my heart. I still have a peace in my mind. All this stuff that's going on, I still feel peace. Because I know that God is in total, 100% control, even in the midst of total chaos. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The time is drawing short, church. The Holy Spirit checked me this morning because when I got up, I was watching the news. And as I was watching the news, it said that one party was pumping good stuff. You know, positive stuff. And the other party was talking about we're getting ready to enter a dark winter. One says you have to learn to live with it. One says you better learn to die. And that's seeing all that stuff. And as I was seeing that, the Lord spoke to me and He said, the stuff in Revelation is scary. The stuff in Revelation also is some very hard, harsh stuff. So you make sure this morning when you give it, and from here on out when you talk about Revelation, that even though there's a lot of negatives in the book of Revelation, and there is going to be some darkness, a lot of darkness, you push some positive in it. I'm glad that when Jesus gave His revelation, He started out from the very beginning with, He's in control. He's in control. He's got it. Over the next weeks, we're going to start talking about the churches of Revelation. And there's a lot of negative in that. But even then, as Jesus was condemning them for some of the negative, He always threw some positive in there too. Let them know that you're not just doing bad stuff, there's some good stuff going on too. Today, every head bowed, every eye closed. If all you're looking at is all the negative around us, it's shaking you. If you're looking only at the negative around you, it's got you scared to death. Don't let it do that to you. Don't let it shut your life down totally. Because even in the middle of this negative, there's some positive stuff going on. It would be nice to have a church full again. But because we don't, that can be a negative. But I like to look at it this way. It's a positive that even though we don't have a church full, we still got people here. And we're still worshiping together. We're having corporate worship. We're not just doing it from Zoom or doing it from on YouTube or on Facebook. We're actually getting a chance to be in person. We're just following some safety precautions. There's a lot of positives in all this negative. If all you focus on is the negative, you're not going to make it through this without having a breakdown. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. First, I want to ask, as always, is there somebody here that would say, Pastor, I've gotten so negative that even now I'm starting to doubt God. I was having a hard enough time with God before all this, but now I'm really having a hard time because I'm wondering, where is He at? Why is He letting this happen? But remember with John on the Isle of Patmos, all his friends are gone, all his family's gone, it's just him. And Jesus comes to him and lets him know from the very beginning, I'm still in control. I'm still calling the shots. It may get crazy as the time goes by, but I'm still in control. If you're here and you would say, Pastor, I'm really finding it hard to communicate with God right now. I'm not even sure I know where I'm at with Him, but I'm finding it hard to communicate with Him with all this. And I really need His help to get me back in the place where I should be. But nobody look around, every eye closed. Would you put that hand up? I'm really finding it hard. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here and you know everything's right with you and God, but you're getting such a negative outlook because of all the stuff that's happening. You're beginning to just expect the worst all the time. If I'm talking to you right now, you might not have had a negative outlook before the COVID, but now because of COVID and the election and the violence and all the things that are happening around the world, you've let your outlook become negative. You no longer look for the positive. You look for negative, negative, negative. And it's draining you emotionally, mentally, spiritually. But I'm talking to you right now and nobody's looking around, every eye's closed. But you put a hand up and say, yeah, I'm finding myself getting negative. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you say right now, I'm trying to look positive. I'm trying to keep a stiff upper lip. I'm trying to keep moving forward. But I'm really, 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 I just need God to do something. I haven't gone negative. I haven't quit talking to God. But I really need a boost because it's really a battle. And it's hard to keep up this fight. Would you put that hand up? Pray for me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Don't be afraid of what's coming. Don't be afraid. Also, I can tell you, on election night, you may not know for days who won, so don't let that get you either. Trust that God has all this in His hands. trust that God is going to take care of you because He's in our midst. He's in our midst. He's the reigning one. He's in complete control. The resurrected one gives us complete life. He's the redeeming one. He gives us total redemption. He's the remaining one. He gives us a complete future. He's the releasing one. He gives us complete freedom. I want us all to pray together right now. Lord, I'm yours. You're the great one. You're the only one. I trust you totally. Just like the man in the scripture who said, I believe, help my unbelief. God, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me, God, not to become negative in all of this, not to become cynical in all of this, but to get positive, positive, to believe something good is going to happen. And I thank you for it right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. Tuesday.